This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. Hello, everyone. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast. I'm your host, Mac, and this is the 54th episode of the podcast. And I tell you what, guys, it's getting really cold here in Kyoto, and the test is just around the corner. I think we're going to be about 18 days away when this podcast hits the internet airwaves. So hope you're all getting ready and you're prepared for whatever level you may be taking this December. I personally am doing a little bit of review. I went through my Sumitomo books, Sumitomo grammar books, which was kind of good. I'm starting to believe more and more that the Sumitomo series of books are a little too easy for the N2 level, so kind of lull you into a sense of security, because you can get through the books really easily, but then the test is actually quite a bit more difficult than what you see on the in the books. And to that end, I was starting to go back through the Sumitomo books and was doing the sentential grammar to sentence composition questions, or as I like to call them, the scrambled sentences, and really having some difficulty with them, just kind of puzzling them out and, you know, finding out what goes where, what not. So I figured I'd go back to the bookstore and see what I can see, and looked through the new Kanzen Master N2 grammar book, and thought that it's very thorough. It has, I think the new version has 211 grammar points, I guess you want to call them, which if you compare that to the old green classic book, the old green book had about 146 or, well, maybe more, 160. I'm probably misquoting there, but the new version has a lot more grammar points, if that's what turns you on. But what was really great for me was that they have, towards the end, individual sections that kind of go over strategies on how to get through the different types of questions on the test. There's, for example, there's the first kind of select the correct grammar point kind of questions. Those, I believe, are the sentential grammar one questions. And then after that, there's the scrambled sentences. And then after that, there's the, I believe, what they call text grammar, which is where they give you a paragraph and you have to fill that in with the correct grammar point. The book actually goes through each one of those one by one, gives you some good patterns to use, a few, I don't really want to say tips, actually it doesn't really give you that many tips, but it gives you a good amount of patterns to look out for and to get used to for the sentence composition questions, the scrambled sentence questions, which is actually the only part of the book that I've done so far. But I got it basically because it was cheap. It's thick. It's got a good 150 or so pages. It's about 1200 yen, I think, here in Japan. It's probably, I haven't looked up the price, but it's probably under 20 bucks from White Rabbit Press or whatnot. So it's a good bang for your buck kind of book. And it has a lot of good patterns and things, which is a little bit more than what some of the other books have. My biggest beef with it is that it's okay. It's got some good examples, really difficult examples, to give you an idea of what the test would be like. But it's a little bare on the explanations, especially for the scrambled sentences where you have to, you have the four parts and you have to put them into the sentence. And then you have the correct answer, the answer that you put on your answer sheet is the part of the sentence that goes where the star is. And so you have to circle that in on the answer sheet. But they only give you that answer. They don't give you the pattern. So they don't give you, there's basically four numbers. So they don't say it's 2, 1, 3, 4. They just say it's 3. 3 is supposed to be in the third position. So that's really tricky. A real pain in my opinion, because then you have to go and kind of puzzle out, you know, what goes where. And then even then you're not quite sure, even though you do know what goes where the star is. It, on some questions, it can still leave you a little puzzled. So luckily I have a few native Japanese coworkers that I can ask and you know, find out what they're, you know, what goes where. And it's almost kind of a little bit reassuring, I guess, when some of my coworkers go, "Oh my God, what kind of question is this?" Those are really difficult to kind of untie, so to speak. And so it takes them a good amount of time to get through these sentential grammar questions. So that's a little bit reassuring, at least for me, that I'm not alone in trying to unpuzzle, unscramble these sentences. So they've been a big help, but if you don't have a native speaker friend or a forum or something that you can ask questions on, then it might not be quite the book for you. So you might need to find somebody to help you out, or just get another book that has a lot more detailed explanations than the new Kanzen Master grammar book. But of course, as always, I will have a full video review of that book once I'm work my way through it. It might be a little while before I get that up, but be looking for that sometime in the future. But today, I want to talk about distractions. Distractions while you're studying, while you're learning Japanese. And so generally, you know, we go through life and your parents or, you know, your teachers or whatnot have told you that when you're studying, distractions are generally considered a bad thing. That, you know, hopefully most of you know that you shouldn't be trying to multitask while you're studying. You know, you shouldn't be like answering emails or watching TV while you're trying to get through your Japanese grammar book. The idea is you want to try to stay focused, not even listen to any kind of music while you are studying, because you want to stay focused. You want to absorb that information. And, you know, generally speaking, less distractions the better. But that isn't always the case when you're studying, especially when you're studying for the JLPT. And you're probably asking yourself right now, well, why is that? That's craziness. That's crazy speak. But, in the test, the true test, the real deal, you'll have distractions galore. People will be sneezing, coughing, they'll be shuffling papers, the proctors will be walking up and down the aisles, doing whatever proctors do. And, for some people, these distractions won't be all that bad. Maybe you're used to focusing. That's your thing. You're a super focuser. And I applaud you, because that is definitely not me. But if you are a bit jittery or a little nervous around the test or whatnot, these distractions might throw your attention off and cause you to lose focus during the test. And this is especially important during the listening section, because if you lose focus for even, heck, for even like a half a second, if you miss a particle, like a question marker particle or something, in the quick response, or even in some of the longer questions, that can, mean the difference between you getting the correct answer or the wrong answer. And it's not like real life where you can ask the person to say whatever it is again. You're only going to get one go at the listening. So you really need to focus, and you really need to practice that before you get into the test. And so it's good to at least practice a little bit for this, just a couple times, just so you're not going in there completely clueless, so to speak. So some tips to get you used to the real testing environment. When you're practicing listening, try to play it from, and this is going to sound a little funny, but play it from a cheap CD player. That's playing into the room, so with speakers, no headphones, and not from your iPod with some, your perfect stereo monitor, studio monitor headphones on. Mostly this is because during the test, you might be lucky, you might get a good sound system. They're definitely not going to have like a really completely low quality sound system, but don't expect, Dolby surround sound at your testing facility. And you're definitely not going to obviously have headphones at the test either. So there's a bit of a difference between a quality difference, actually, between hearing it resonating through the room and hearing it in your headphones. And so this quality might not seem like much, but if you're not used to it, and you miss a few particles here and there because it's a little distracting to listen to, again, that might cost you some points. So, and I'm not saying completely avoid your iPod and always, play your JLPT listening practice CDs at loud volumes all the time. Although I'm sure your neighbors and all your roommates would love that. It's just important to balance it out between the two. Just give it a few goes, so you're not going in there kind of, especially if you're a jittery test taker like myself. It would be good to practice that a little bit before you walk into the test. Also, it's okay that you do your practicing during the busy part of the day, doing your studying during the busy part of the day. When the trash man is driving by and the kids are playing in the street in front of your house. That's okay because you're gonna have to get used to those people in the test, sneezing, coughing, shuffling papers. One test I took, I was in the middle of the listening section, and someone's iPhone went off with the default marimba dial tone, which is, I don't know, the worst way to go down, in my opinion. So she was obviously immediately expelled from the test room, but that's still. It was right in the middle of a testing section, and you if you lose your focus for those one or two questions, you might miss them, and so that's really frustrating because of course, that might be the difference between passing or failing, and then you have to wait another 6 months or a year to take the test again. So it's okay to just be aware that the testing environment isn't this perfect sterile environment that you're going into, and that you will most likely have at least a few distractions while you're taking a test. So while you're studying, it might be a good idea to live with the distractions, if you will. So that is it for this week. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Have you ever gotten distracted during the test? And what did you do to stay focused or get back focused on the test? Let me know in the comments to this episode. This is again episode 54, and you can come on by the website at jlptbootcamp.com and leave me a message there, or you can go to the blog and click the contact me button and let me know your thoughts, your feelings, your questions about the test or about Japanese, anything really. I'd like to hear about it. So until then, I will talk to you next week. Happy studying, everyone.
To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.